All right, we are in Proverbs chapter 26, and we will begin in verse 13. Verse 13 through 16 has to do with sluggards and laziness and things like that. Uh-oh. So I'm going to go sit over in the corner and just listen to everybody else, because maybe this might apply to me.
That's why I said, uh-oh.
Right. So I'll start. Verse 13, here we go. It says, the sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. What does that mean?
Have we went over this one before?
Oh, we have.
That's what I was thinking.
In a previous chapter?
Previous chapter we have.
Yeah. So what does it mean, there's a lion in the streets?
He's just using an excuse to not do what he's supposed to do.
There you go.
I don't want to get out of the house. There's a lion in the streets, so I don't have to.
Yeah. I would go check it out.
I had no idea. I was like, I don't know what this means.
So think about it back then. They were kind of out in the open. They didn't have houses like we do, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they had houses and they had buildings. But they did have animals just kind of roaming around.
Ah. Right? So that was a legitimate fear.
Yeah, that'd be a legitimate fear.
Sure, exactly.
Fear, but not fact, right?
Right. It's a legit fear, but not necessarily what they need to be focused on.
I don't know that they saw a lion in the street every day, though. So nope. Really, this is more of an exaggeration.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Just an excuse.
Yeah, yeah, like she said. Just
do we have
excuse.
Things like that?
Alligators in Florida.
What's that?
Alligators in Florida.
Oh, yeah. There's an alligator outside. I can't go out.
There's a bobcat in my house.
Bobcats are real.
Yeah.
There's a bobcat outside.
Are you trying to catch one?
No.
They're vicious.
Yes, they are.
I tried to catch one before and I was like, oh my God.
Scooby, you don't know.
Catch a what?
A bobcat.
Oh, we have them in our woods. No, I wouldn't catch them.
No.
Why would you catch it?
I think we can make up excuses for just about not doing anything, for laziness, that anything. Yeah. Anything goes kind of thing. We can talk ourselves out of anything.
Very easy.
I'm not going outside. I might get hurt.
Wasn't it's too
it
hot.
Wasn't it a lion that ate all the kids? When? It was making fun of. The kids were making in the Bible.
Oh,
the lion! Wasn't the lion that ate like 40 kids or 30 kids or something? They were making fun of.
I'll have to look it up.
There were some kids that were making fun of. Was it Elijah? Or
yes. Was
something?
Yeah. Well, I couldn't remember if it was lion or a bear.
But
is it the sheep?
I think it was a lion that said they ate like 30 or 40 kids. Yeah, I can. That's what makes me think of that, because that might be
a
lion is the thing that
for Elijah.
Okay. That happened before Proverbs were written.
I'm not sure it was Elijah, but it was one of those.
Yeah,
okay.
He was. One of them ate all the kids that were teasing him. And they
Second Kings 2:24.
Okay.
And there came forth two.
Oh, shoot.
I may be wrong.
2:24.
I think I'm wrong. Okay. So, yeah, and there came forth two she bears, the other one, and tear 40 and two.
Oh, bears, not one.
Tear 40 and two children of him.
I'm just tigers. Oh, mom!
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. All right, so that was 2 Kings 2, what?
23 and 24.
All right, 2 Kings 2, 23 and 20. Very good.
That's a story to bring to your children to make them fall. Well,
that's a bully one. That's right. They were bullies. It was horrible. They were bullies.
Sure.
They bullied the wrong little person.
Yeah.
2 Kings 2, 20 what?
23 and 24.
Oh my God, that's way off track.
That was Elisha.
Elisha.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
mine has absolutely nothing about bears.
Oh, wait, 24 it is. Okay.
She bears.
Yeah. Sorry for that distraction.
We do that every now and then.
Well, I'm sure we'll come to bully in here in a couple of verses, so we'll just keep that one in mind.
Keep that in our back pocket, yeah. Which one?
We're going to do verse 13.
In 2 Kings?
Which one?
Not with that.
What are we going to do?
She bears are more.
She bears.
If they have
babies. Yeah. All right. Well, mama bears are mean.
Yes.
They eat kids. All right. So, I guess that's what we're taking away from there. All right. So, what categories can we assign this making excuses?
Well, thieves and sluggards.
Thieves and sluggards. Yep.
And we did 13 and 14, right? No,
nope,
just 13.
Just 13.
Okay.
Illusion.
Oh, yeah.
Illusion. I put lying.
Lying. Good.
Integrity.
Could even be pride.
Pride.
Oh, and yeah.
Selfish. Yeah, pride of lying.
Well, if you think you're... It talks about fools, and if you're here to knock off psychos and lazy, maybe you think that you got it all figured out.
Definitely pride.
Yeah, we just write the. I just write the verse in. Like
yeah,
they
write
number,
the verse number.
The number in. Yeah.
What about excuses?
Yeah.
Yeah, excuses would be a good one.
26:13. Yeah.
Yeah, I just do. I do the whole.
That is.
So I do a chapter, a page, so like the whole thing is 26. That way I don't have to write 26 all the time.
Yes, it's in number. It's on line number 6, in the area of number 6.
What is?
No, not really.
You be quiet.
All right. No, I know. It was
okay.
Siri. So let's do verse 14.
As a door turns on its hinges, so does a lazy man on his bed.
So poetic. So simple. So perfect.
Right.
One of those, not that all the verses aren't perfect, this is just such a great verse. I'm sorry.
There is some more. I agree that was a very poetic thing.
That's just because the door keeps going back and forth and back and forth and never accomplishes
it. It moves and goes nowhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cloud without rain, right?
Right.
Squeaks a lot.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of noise, but.
Usually open door has opportunities that the slacker is missing out on.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. And it's also, a door stays put, right?
Yeah.
It stays put. It's only in this one spot. Because of that hinge, it's only going to go two places.
The hinge does
work. Huh. So what categories can we assign this to? Verse 14.
Thieves and sluggards.
There you go. I think... 13 through 16, we'll just say that's definitely going to be sluggards. Any other ones?
Let's see. Greed.
Greed? Why?
You want your bad time. You want this. You're not. Yeah. I guess. Okay. I'm just rewording greed and be sluggard, but.
But I think you're right. Someone who doesn't want to get to do anything is kind of being greedy with their time and selfish because they want to do what they want to do, not what should be done.
Mm-hmm. Selfish.
Yeah.
Right there, selfish.
Yeah, definitely selfish, and I can see the greed in that.
You could even say they have an excuse, going back to that.
Yeah, it's excuses.
I was looking at it, like, differently, like, as far as, to me, that had some counsel to it, like, deterring you from that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but I was just like, that's kind of blocks, you know?
So taking a positive look at it. Just saying, yeah.
That's a piece of wise counsel. Hey, do you really want to stand like a door and just roll back and forth in bed all day?
Well, sometimes I can't sleep, so I'm just going to go back.
Just give us that for something.
Is there anything to pride in this conversation?
A little bit.
I think pride and greed and selfishness are all so intertwined.
Yeah.
I think you go on the other side with pride, but also think shame. And there's a lot of self-loathing people, shameful people who, you know, laziness is just a byproduct of that shame. You don't want to go outside. You make these excuses because you've done something wrong and you don't want to show your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they're so prideful about how people view them, you know. Not wanting shame is on here, but.
I like this version. As the door is hinged to the wall, so a lazy man keeps turning over, hinged to his bed. That made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Stuck there.
Stuck on what we do. So did we start on 12?
Yeah. We started on 13.
We started on verse 13.
Yeah.
All right, good. So let's go over to verse 15 then.
The slacker buries his hand in the bowl. He is too weary to bring it to his mouth. Ooh.
So lazy he can't even feed himself?
Yeah.
That's exactly. There are some people so lazy they won't even work to feed themselves.
Yeah.
I knew a man once that made his wife brush his teeth.
What?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
What? No.
Not because he couldn't do it, right? Not because he could do it. Yeah, it's just he
there
made.
Was, there were a lot of issues there. That
yeah.
Laziness was probably one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a note in my Bible on this verse that says Hebrew. The Hebrew is difficult. Ancient and modern translators differ greatly. Can we go around the room and get all the different versions?
Yeah, sure. So what does your version say?
Oh, mine says the same thing as this.
Okay.
What version is that?
King James.
All right. So do we have a King James?
What verse is that again?
We're at verse 15.
Oh. A King James? Just a straight King James version?
Yeah.
Well, mine, I
have one. CSB. I got Christian Standard.
Okay, hold on. So what does the King James say?
The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth.
Okay, so that picture is kind of like, I'm holding my hand here, and it's just way too hard to go like this. That's the picture you get there, right? Mm-hmm. So what does the CSB say?
The slacker buries his hand in the bowl. He is too weary to bring it to his mouth.
So he can get it there, but he's just not bringing it there, right?
That's pretty slothful.
Weary was a good one.
I think I'm kind of sorry.
Almost like.
English Gander said the slugger buries his hand in the ditch and wears him out to bring it back to his mouth.
Think he's worth being called a slugger?
Yeah. What version was that?
ESB.
ESB? So what does the Amplified say?
The lazy person buries his hand in the ditch, losing opportunity after opportunity. That's in parentheses. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. It reminds me, I saw a video on YouTube once. This cat was laying there, and he dipped his paw in water bowl, and then he would hold it up and let it drip in his mouth.
Oh, my.
It was hysterical.
Yeah.
Do you still have that one?
I just happened to run across it.
That's funny.
I think it also shows like selfishness if you do view this as a bowl. Like, especially if you're like a party setting, like we're watching the Pacers game, and somebody has their hand in the chip bowl, and they just leave it there, and then no one else can grab chips. And then it's just kind of they're so fixated on just having stuff, on having material stuff, that they're not even focused on the other people in the room.
Yeah.
That's me. Give my hand the chips and just watch the game. I'm like, oh, wait. Oops.
Make sure you have your own bowl.
Yeah. So, going back to what Crystal was saying, we justify things.
Crystal's just lazy. How we
want, right?
Like, so lazy.
I might want someone, I might be thirsty and want, you know, a glass of water, but I don't want it bad enough to go get it out of the fridge, so I'll just wait till someone walks through the room and then they walk and say, hey, would you give me a glass of water? You know, that kind of
thing. Wait a minute. Let's not use that as the example.
I was going to say,
yeah. Now, come on.
I think we've all done that. Been like, oh, you're in the kitchen anyways. Grab beans and yeah.
Sluggers do that over and over and over constantly.
Yeah, when it's a repetitive
thing. I was going
to
say, right? I think that's...
I'm definitely going home and using it tonight.
Well, and I think it's even... I even think it's more than just even repetitiveness in that sense. I think it's... That's the expectation they have. That's their way of life type of thing. Right. It's. I think it goes to that... What is it? The nth degree. It's like they... It's taking it to the extreme to where it's not healthy.
Rather than asking... someone to be helpful.
Yeah.
It's the expected action that they want from someone else.
Do you want me to play the cookies when you're at it too?
Exactly. Yeah,
there you go.
I used to do that to my mom all the time. Like,
so what categories can we assign verse 15 then? So let me ask you this, because this started with scholars differing. Do we kind of have a good understanding of kind of what we're talking about? I'm not sure what they were differing on, other than, you know, words matter, right? So does the clear English Tom version say it differently?
Right. A lazy man looks at his food as if expected someone to feed him.
The expectation. Wow. We got to it and... All right.
Tom version.
Obviously selfish.
I like the
definitely. Selfish.
I said illusion.
Illusion?
Yeah.
Good.
Coveting.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking it.
Covet.
Coveting is wanting something that someone else has.
I keep picturing this great big king that weighs 475 pounds in his chair, and they're feeding him his grapes, and he's sitting in his chair. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm getting from that. That kind of...
Yeah.
That kind of...
Laziness.
Slothy.
Yeah, yeah. You must have watched an awful lot of Monty Python.
Yeah, I see that. I see that in that verse.
Yeah, definitely.
I can see this being disrespectful, though, a little bit. Because you're too late to get in yourself and you're making someone else do it.
Yeah, yeah. Good. So let's hit verse 16 then.
Yeah.
16. In his own eyes, a slacker is wiser than seven who can answer sensibly.
Okay. What is this creating a picture of?
That people, that lazy people think that their mindset is easy to read version. So that kind of gets me a picture of this. Lazy people think they are 7 times smarter than the people who really have good sense.
There you go.
The note for this verse in my Bible says, it struck me, the ignorant are ignorant of their ignorance. I'm like, wow, that, yeah, they...
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah.
You know?
The one who doesn't know what he doesn't know. There you go.
Yeah.
That's Confucius.
Yeah, what Confucius say. Yeah, so verse 16, yeah.
Yeah.
That's 16?
Yep, that's verse 16.
I think it parallels verse 13 really well in the fact that the slackers saying outrageous things and they, you know, they're so far gone that they believe it wholeheartedly. Even if they kind of know it's a fixated lie, they're living in a world where lies are truth. It's a backwards thing, and that it's very hard for us to talk to these people, to communicate, to witness to those people, because if they're going to lie about rolling out of bed, they're not going to make a valid view on their Christian life, on their, you know, on anything of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess
it's definitely.
That's where it comes in, because it's like someone that thinks they know it all, that you're never really going to learn anything if you think you know everything.
Right. Yeah.
You're never willing to express, like, okay, maybe I saw that in a different way.
There's no surrender.
Yeah, I think that's why I asked about 12, because it kind of seemed like it kind of built from 12 on. But, I mean, obviously before that, even, but I missed last week. I didn't get to listen to it all.
That's okay. So taking it from that perspective, who else can be a sluggard then, according to this verse, in the way it's being described, where it says, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven other men who answer discreetly?
Who is the sluggard?
Yeah.
Be you.
Yeah, it could be me, right? Because
yeah,
isn't so when we flip the script just a little bit and move it from what's the lazy action? Mm-hmm. The lazy action is not thinking through. The lazy action is not listening. I can be lazy by not listening. Mm-hmm. Right?
So you don't want to grow. It's too much work to grow, so I'm just going to...
Right.
Like, I don't need to grow.
Yeah.
Procrastination.
Yeah.
There's too much to go. There's too much to learn,
Tom. You know,
that's it. I'm done. I'm out. Day. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, and when we look at it from that perspective, it's not someone else being lazy. Mm-hmm. It's actually me being lazy. Me being lazy because I choose not to grow. Me being lazy because I choose not to listen to how to grow. Me being lazy thinking, I know better than these seven other people that are giving this the right answer. My way's better, right?
It reminds me of, I don't know what the condition is, but it's where somebody's always, they're always sick. Or they may have walk with a cane they don't need. Anytime I've met these kinds of people, they're always very clinical, very educated, very smart. And yet there's all these woes in their life, all these things that stop them from, you know, just making critical adjustments to their life, be eating healthy, even just walking and stuff like that. It's just, let alone, you know, coming to church or anything like that. It's a mental illness. It's like a state of mind. They just, their mind is so boggled in this idea of being at a disadvantage or ultimately not wanting to do something that disadvantage has formed a real physical thing on their body that troubles them deeply.
Yeah.
I can relate to this one a lot with transparent. So I'm glad that God's put in my heart about being in good leadership, like being under good leadership, and like, because I had a head full of knowledge of the Bible, but I didn't have a heart full of walking out the Bible, a heart full of faith. You know what I mean? I knew the scriptures, I just didn't know how to live it. So I mean, when I finally got to that spot with Jesus, that I've got people around me as you know to instruct me, you know, and He finally gave me the wisdom to just be quiet, you know, and listen. You know, and it's like, so I can relate to that scripture a lot.
Cool. So what categories then can we take verse 16 and look at?
The pride, right off the top.
Definitely pride. Yeah.
Illusion.
Yeah, illusion again.
Yes. Slugger.
I feel like it's talking about a con too.
What's that?
I said I feel like it's talking about a con too.
Oh yeah.
He's wiser in his own. Who knows?
Yeah. So a con artist.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. A con artist.
He's lying.
He's a
con. He's underlying. Yeah.
He's trying to.
Seems like we're hanging out in this neighborhood.
I was going to say, it's right down here.
We're hanging out in six.
Yeah.
I think
he's a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you say fool?
Yeah. Fool. Excuses. I think it's interesting that, and again, this is my view of kind of how chapter 25 and through, I think, 29, how, make sure I said that right. Yes, through 29. 25 through 29 is this. As I said before, it's my imagination. I wasn't there. I don't know. I haven't read a commentary that says they, you know, they found all this stuff. But I envision, because it says in Hebrews chapter 25, verse 1, it says that Hezekiah the king, when they were cleaning up and they were having a great revival in Israel during that time in Judah, they had a great revival, and so when they were going through the temple, they found some more of these scrolls or journals, as I called them, of King Solomon. And he said, hey, let's write those down because we need to apply these. And it's interesting that this particular journal has, you know, from 25 and on, and now we're kind of into these negative aspects of things. And we're getting ready to go into how our words matter. Right, but it was interesting how each one of these, if we look at from a king's perspective, why would he want Israel to hear these, right? And why did he find them so important that we needed to add them to the book of Proverbs under his reign? It was because maybe the children of Israel were struggling with these issues, right? Being lazy, having pride, lying to one another, lying to themselves, right? I find that very interesting that we would have this additional journal that Lord, you know, that God allowed them to find in some corner of the temple somewhere.
Yeah, it almost makes me think of when you said that about in the Exodus when they were getting the manna in the water in the desert and it wasn't enough. And they said, God, give us meat. He said he gave the compulsion to eat meat until it came out their nose.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but getting that angelic bread just wasn't enough for him. You know, they weren't having to do anything for it but harvest it. That's right. It, you know. And I wanted more, you know. That's what it made me think of.
So. Yeah. So this is an opportunity that Hezekiah took to, yeah, hey, let's really focus on our behavior, our attitude, our process, the way we talk to one another.
So go. We can check instruction.
Yeah, definitely we could look at instruction.
To go along with that, you know, the New Testament says, you know, don't be weary in well-doing. I think, because I'm like, why would he go through laziness so much in this book? Because where my brain was going. So the fact that you said that, I was like, okay. And then I thought of don't be weary in well-doing. And, you know, I think we've talked about it too, that, you know, sometimes you can get tired of being good. You know, and to the point where you get lazy. You're like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to listen to these people who are around me. I'm tired of what they're saying. It's not what I want to hear. It's that discontentment. So, I'm kind of like, okay, now I'm back on the flip side of, okay.
And that ties into the lead into that as well.
Yeah.
It's a, be not deceived, God will not be mocked, and man will reap what he sows.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
It goes into that, like, mm-hmm. 6, 7, 8, and 9, you know,
mm-hmm.
all kind of tie together.
Exactly. So, I think we can, yes, you, I mean, there are lazy people, legit lazy people, but I think there are people who get lazy because they're just weary of
doing good.
Doing good.
I'm tired of doing it the right way. Nobody noticing, right?
Yeah, nobody noticing it, or it gets boring, or, you know, whatever excuse there is, right? Yeah. So, when you know it's what you're supposed to do, you know, and it's the best thing to do, and you know that. So, yeah. Exactly.
To gain some encouragement, let's talk about somebody else.
So if it's the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes, right?
Yep.
That's how mine starts, and this is the seven men who do give a discreet answer. So clearly there is wise men who give a good answer, and it's kind of just calling me out. I mean, all of these call me out. I don't know about you guys,
okay.
But it's like wise in your own eyes, right?
Yeah.
They did what was good in their.
Yeah.
All the kings and all the—I mean, it's history building upon history.
Yeah.
So the self-righteous person is convinced he's smarter than seven wise counselors who will tell him the truth.
My word says the seven men who can answer sensibly, and that just dawned on me. It doesn't say seven wise men who have a lot of wisdom. It's just they're just saying sensible things, just common sense things, and just. Speaking sensibly is even wiser than that fool.
Very true.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, we're going to kind of switch gears. We're going to get out of this section, and now we're going to talk about quarreling, arguments, argumentative type of things, where I kind of titled this next section. It's basically from verse 17 through the end of the chapter is our words matter. Right? That's kind of how I've looked at this. And when I was going through the commentaries, they really point out that our words matter and how we use them and what we're talking about. So who has verse 17?
Tony does.
You have to turtle.
You have to turtle, Tony.
Like the one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife, not belonging to him.
Okay. So let's take this one picture at a time. If you grab a dog by the ears, what happens? Yeah. You're going to get bit. Yep. Yelp, a bite, some sort of reaction, right? So what's the second half of it then? This person who's walking by spewing words into another person's argument or quarrel or fight and giving their own two cents.
you're setting yourself up for failure if you're getting into somebody else's problems.
Yeah.
Like setting up, I mean, if you're going to jump into somebody else's kind of, you know, argument, then you're just putting yourself at risk.
It's very good. That's a great synopsis of what that says. You're putting yourself at great risk.
Yeah, because it says one who grabs a dog by the ears.
Would you do that?
No.
That's right. Nobody wants to do that. So what categories then can we put this? And sometimes it's hard. I will say that. There, maybe these categories aren't all, and I think I forgot to tell you this, Susanna. These categories are not all inclusive. These are not the only categories that can exist,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
More foolish. Foolish.
Yeah.
Is that on there?
Yes, it is.
What?
Self-control.
Self-control,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's...
Discernment. So 17 can be assigned to self-control, discernment,
Instruction.
Evil and death under human speech.
Yeah, evil and death. Number
three.
Yeah.
So that's just wise to listen to that advice.
Right.
Okay, but what are they arguing about? So that's none of your business what they're arguing about. You know, leave them alone.
So I also had it listed under disrespect and pride.
I was thinking that too, but the disrespect, but I thought we also need to have a category called respect. You need to respect their privacy and stay out of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Hard call.
So a write-in category of respect. That's a write-in. That's not on the list.
So right beside, like in that same category area.
Yeah.
Disrespect and slash respect. R E S P E C T.
These days, if you meddle in people's disputes, you might get yourself shot. Right.
Yeah.
In this day and age, that's very true.
Yep.
Very hard calls.
Which isn't a valid response, to be fair. For meddling other people's stuff, but don't shoot somebody for being a jerk.
Right. I see where you went with that. Yeah.
All right, so let's hit verses 18 and 19. They're together.
Okay.
Like a man who throws flames.
It's Scooby's turn.
Oh, sorry. Go for it. Sorry.
Anyone who would trick someone and then say, "I was only joking," is like a fool who shoots flaming arrows into the air and accidentally kills someone.
He got him.
I know, he did get it.
Yeah, he got him.
Was yours that it talked about the person I was only joking, that's your verse
18, 19.
I guess mine's
reversed. It's reversed.
Yeah, mine's too.
So in the ESV, it's reversed to explain it, who the bad person, what the bad person's doing, and this is what it's like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you in the ESV? Is that right?
ERV.
ERV.
Easy read version.
Yeah.
You are ESV.
This backwards from what he said. So yeah.
Well, I did it because they both stick together, so I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
How to look up fire burns.
Yeah, so what did you find?
It's a flaming, it's a piece of burning wood. Mm-hmm. So throwing hot wood at someone.
Or deadly fire
arrows.
Yeah. Imagine, we've all seen the movies, the medieval movies where they draw the bow back, and then they light it on fire, and they shoot it off, and
your fire burns.
Yeah,
it's like putting a firecracker in somebody's sleeping bag, just playing around joking, and just that's what I get. This is what I get from this. Hey, I was just
around.
That's what I get from that. So, I'm a sport. Yeah, you're a real sport, aren't you?
Right.
This is another one that you can use in the New Living Translation. It says, in the it says, just as damaging as a madman shooting a deadly weapon is someone who lies to a friend. And then it says, I was only joking.
So what's this whole point of, I'm just joking? What?
They're backpedaling, trying to get out of trouble.
There you go.
I think of a, like those shows where they catch the criminals, and, you know, like they caught someone dropping rocks off the overpass and the cars, and as soon as someone gets hurt, oh, I was just playing around. I didn't mean to hurt anybody.
We were just joking around.
Yeah.
What caught me is the use of the word madman.
It's the mean-spirited person.
Because when I think of madman, I think of somebody that's insane. You know, so, like, basically a person that does that is insane.
Yeah, shooting arrows up in the air and accidentally kills somebody. Yeah. It's mad. Yeah, crazy man.
And I think that's a great point, because it proves how our world is. We do a lot of things that are acceptable in our world that really are very madman-like.
Which is, we're talking about that.
Now they don't shoot arrows, like narrow they shoot guns.
It's almost more insulting that they're trying to say, I'm just joking, you know, they're not, you know. I would say most times in our lives, or at least my life, like there's not very many people who are like, Eli, I hate you. But there's certainly people who do the, hey, you look weird, I'm just messing with you, but you know they're not joking. This is the general, this is the general way most people are going to discredit you, or whatever. Especially, you know, I guess when it comes to our faith, especially with the protections those people have within their workspace, that you can't really say certain things about religion. There's still plenty of jokes, but people always have that. Just joking, no. Don't put me into HR kind of thing. But really, they are truthfully being hurtful and are trying to put down you on your faith.
That is true.
Like the epistle. Can I just say, I'm just kidding.
What epistle it says in there, where it tells us not to
put me into
HR. Like, what it made me think of is, you know, those really extreme YouTube videos now where people are doing, like, these really atrocious things to their friends, and it's all to get a laughter out of them. Like, they're destroying their phones, and they're doing, like, these really awful things, and they're calling each other friends, bro. I'm like, you wouldn't be my buddy if you were doing that to me, you know?
Right.
I don't find the humor in it either, you know? So it's like, that's what it made me think of, though. You know, oh, just joking. You know, hey, you just smashed my $1,400 phone. Dude, that's not a joke. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like,
but, I would be like, you owe me another one, bro.
Bullies do that. They'll do something to bully you. And then they'll try to turn around and act like you're the one that's being offended, and it's your fault. You can't take a joke.
How many bullies start out as friends, you know?
They do.
Yeah.
And it says the man who deceives his neighbor, so it's the lying is the action almost. It's like they're referring to the lying as how deadly this can be.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm. It's just a small lie, right? It's just a white lie.
Oh, no. Any white lie is a small lie.
Right. So we have some categories here. I've heard lying, disrespect. What else do we have? This is verses 18 and 19.
Exactly. Oh, say evil and death.
Yeah.
18 and 19.
Correct.
Did we say lying?
Yep, lying. Disrespect. Illusion. Yeah.
Neighbors and friends.
Neighbors and friends. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there's many a movie that is created around this concept or TV show.
Which one?
Dog. Yeah, like I said, many a movie, all of them.
Oh, I didn't
lots
whole,
of them.
The whole 1980s
I mean, the
era
whole.
We were growing up was all bullying.
I was going to say,
it was
it's
like
bullying.
Our way of life.
Or, I can't. I think here lately, the thing I think that struck me, especially since we're going through Proverbs, if, you know, we're watching a show or a movie, I'm just like, this whole thing is all because no one can tell the truth. You know what I mean? It's
well,
nobody's. Nobody's telling the truth, to y'all's point. I mean, they weren't being true friends. You know what I mean? My mind just kind of goes there of, this is awful. This isn't. And this is what people are watching every single day. Whether it's a TV show or a full-on movie, it's just, it's sad. I mean,
it, be careful of eyes, baby.
Yeah. So it's.
Yeah,
yeah
so
I, it's
so in that
tough.
In that vein, I've actually added this to husband, wife, parents. Parents to their children, children to their parents, all of these categories in that section, along with friends and neighbors, would benefit from this, right? Because we, even when my brother and I would do something, we, you know, I'd do something to him or he'd do something to me. Hey, I'm just joking.
I would say mocking,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, mocking. Yeah, accountability.
That had a great analogy talking about how words affect. You can say I'm just joking, but you don't know how much that hurts the other person.
Right.
And he'd say, when you say something negative, it's like putting a nail on the fence post. And you can apologize or say I'm joking and pull that nail out, but that hole remains in the fence post.
Yes.
And normally they don't add the I'm joking until they see that you're hurt.
Right.
And they're like, oh, I'm just joking.
They get
you know,
caught.
And they, when you're like, dang, you know, that was kind of harsh, you know, but like, oh, I was just joking. Never mind. You know, but
that's where the grace comes in.
That's the hard part. Sometimes you just want to, really? Watch this. I was just joking.
They can't stand for what should be done to them.
Yes.
They can do it to you, but you can't do it to them.
Right.
Yeah.
So, verse 20.
Do you want to turn it off?
I'm good.
Yes. Without wood, the fire goes out, and without gossip, the quarreling ceases.
It just got deep.
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
There was real one about that.
What happens?
Gossip.
Yeah, gossip.
Stop the gossip.
It's kind of like when we go in the back when people get hurt. Instead of just joking, but really, people like, oh, that's where I feel like 18, 19, 20 kind of come together a little bit. Because they won't say anything to your face, but when you go on social media, they can type all they want because they know they won't be there. And then, yeah, it checks. Someone finds out you were saying something on social media about them, then also they get in trouble too. But really, nowadays you don't see people like hit wedgies and swirlies and all that no more. It's all called social media, which could cause a deeper harm to that person. And it can take that person's life because they don't know what's been going on.
Yeah. My wife and I know of several, I'll say a couple, of young kids that have taken their life because of, you know, the things that they read and see on social media.
And it's very sad, too. It's
yeah.
Really sad.
Yeah, I always said sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will break my heart.
Hey, Mom, I've said that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Words will break your heart.
That took me to James 4, where it talks about how the tongue is a word of iniquity, and how it's just made a correlation between the fire having a word, you know, with the tongue that is setting the fire, you know, like spreading the gospel or whatever. But that James 3, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It says, see how Gary pours a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire of mortal iniquity. The tongue is so set amongst its members that it defiles the whole body and sets the course of time, sets the fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire by hell. But I just like how it made the correlation between our words and how the tongue can, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So what categories can we assign this to?
Integrity.
Yep. Tongue.
Scorners.
Scorners.
Integrity.
You said integrity?
Yeah. How about kindness?
Yeah.
Say kindness?
Yeah, looking, yes, kindness, looking at the, basically the opposite of what's going on here. Taking away the wood would be the kindness and not spreading that rumor or that statement.
What about influence?
Definitely.
And then selfish.
Can be.
Can be selfish.
That is on the left-hand side. In round number four.
And then peace, because you take away that gossip.
Yep, can be peaceful.
Yourself and truth a lot of times. It'll feed, you know, I'm not worthy, I'm not enough, I'm not all of those types of feelings, instead of, you know, feeding yourself with, I'm a child of God. He gives me everything I need. I'm important to Him. I was created by Him. I mean, you know, there's a huge difference in telling yourselves those two. Like you said, what wood are you feeding the fire with? If it's going to be the gossipy untruths, then...
And if it is that gossip or that quarrelsome act, if you take that away, it's going to disappear. It's going to burn out.
Yeah.
Or if you have a stance of God and Holy Spirit and the people around you and the destruction of our Lord, then it's going to burn inside of you and be vibrant.
Good.
Good.
I like it.
Just keep patient. Somebody just keep stirring the pot. Whatever, if they just keep stirring.
Yeah.
We all know somebody like that. Do what? Just in general, I mean, you know somebody in your life that you have conversations with that, you know,
yeah, I know.
They just
keep... Give her the pot and want them to stir it.
They won't let it go.
That sure deserves to stop.
Try the Jesus in me.
There you go. So, in all that we've looked at this evening, as you look at your paper and as you kind of look at it, and our hour has flown by pretty quick, any thoughts on kind of how to wrap up kind of what we've been talking about this evening?
There was a lot of laziness.
There was some laziness. We can be lazy. It's just not someone else.
Maybe think about the comeback. You know, where the where it says, you know, be not deceived, back up and approach good character. So that's what makes me be more more careful about the people that I hang out with, like on a regular basis hang out with.
Yeah.
You know, so because it's real easy. I get easily sidetracked. You know what I mean? So
you need to be purpose driven. Do things deliberately so that you don't fall into swamp.
Good. Well, thank you very much for being here this evening. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll go our separate ways, or come in here and sing in about 20 minutes.
You guys want to go sing?
We'll go sing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And Lord, it is humbling to read the scripture and sometimes see ourselves in minor actions, we say, in just a few little things. Lord, your word is very evident that the little things are what makes the big things happen. And we pray, Lord, that we would be diligent in discerning what is best in our behavior and what is best in our countenance, what is best in our words that always seem to edify you, not tear down others. We pray, Lord, that you would give us strength and courage to make changes in our life if we need to. Give me wisdom to see where I need to change and how I need to change my behavior and my words and my actions. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this evening, and I pray that you would just watch over us as we go our way. In Jesus' name, amen.